Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Tuesday. First of yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Monday. We've got some council business to deal with on the matters of illegal dumping and congestion charges. Should Weight Watchers be marketing to teens? And Valentine's preview from Marcus. But before any of that, so Bob Jones stirring things up again. Here's the petition, of course.
And it doesn't matter how diverse the signatories are, Māori, Pākehā, it's irrelevant. It won't work. Petitions don't work because they're just noise. I could literally pick an issue tomorrow, start a petition, campaign for signatures, and when I had enough, I could tout for some media coverage, saying tens of thousands of people agree with me, that'd give me a headline, and then I could ask the Prime Minister to look at it. And then what? Nothing. Crickets chirping. The most effective way to regulate speech is to hold the platforms who peddle it accountable. Stripping a man of a 30-year-old title awarded for business just because you didn't like his satire doesn't actually change anything. It's just petty. Don't like him, take his award off him. It's our knee-jerk, tall poppy reaction to all things. Get offended, smack down the hand of whoever offended you. And let's look at the offence. Satirical, as it's alleged, comments which appeared to demean and offend Māori. Satire's good when it's funny. This maybe wasn't. The fact Bob Jones thought it was is up to him. But the NBR publishing it? Well, that's where the responsibility really lies. The media has a duty to act responsibly. The column was taken down from its online platform, and pulling it showed maybe NBR worked out the publication of it in the first place wasn't such a great idea. But perhaps it would have saved everyone a lot of money and angst and time in lawyers' offices if they'd worked that out a bit sooner, like before it went to print. But back to the petition. It's going nowhere. We'll do far better as a nation when we get beyond the notion of revenge and payback and stripping people of stuff and move to a more mature approach of just demanding basic standards. When we can spend more time on that and less time on signing petitions to take people's awards off them, well, then we'll truly start to move forward.
Of course, ironically, what the real effect is of petitions like this, and of course my host Mike Hosking's been on the end of a few of these petitions, is that the vast majority of people aren't aware of any of the things that people are doing the petition about until they do the petition. So that's... And then they just give it more oxygen and more publicity. Like, you know, did you know about the Bob Jones thing until people got upset about it? No, of course you didn't. Idiots. Anyway, now, illegal dumping. Apparently, the council's cracking down on this, or some councils are. Here is Andrew Dickens and somebody calling it to him.
I'm actually a landlord, and the amount of tenants now that are just dumping rubbish over the bank. I'm actually at a property today, and the tenant has just thrown bags of and boxes of things, and it's in clear view. Like, he doesn't even have the decency to try and hide it. Like, just, yeah, I just find it absolutely amazing that people think like this.
And so you're in Wellington, and your property is in Wellington, so the tenants are in Wellington. You have regular rubbish collections, don't you?
Yeah, there's regular rubbish collections, but they just, he's only actually lived in the property for 6 months, and he's moving out, and there's a huge big cot on the side of the road just filled up with computers and rubbish. I mean, I'm hoping he's still going to come and get it, but I know his intentions are that he isn't, and we're going to, you know, have to start having a fight about it and bond and all of that. But he just seems to think it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if we could just take a leaf out of some other countries' books. I spent some time in Vietnam over Christmas, and it wasn't uncommon to see people just take their rubbish out into the middle of the street and burn it in the middle of the street. What's the reason that we? There must be a reason that we're not allowed to do that, I suppose. But that, I mean, not only was it effective, it was really cool. I just in the back of my mind, there's some reason why we're not supposed to do that, isn't there? We're not supposed to drive into the city either, but we do.
One of the reasons there is the congestion that there is, and I think I read something in the letters page this morning, there's a reason, and that's because the council wants to create congestion. And I'm not interested in their denials. They do. Owen McShane, years ago, before he sadly died prematurely, Owen McShane explained to us on this program the sort of people that were turning out from the education systems, the training and town planning, that they're people who hate cars. They're not terribly fond of other people either, in many instances, but they hate cars and they want to get you out of your car. They want to get me out of my car. They want to get all of us out of their out of our cars, and to do so, they intend to make life more difficult, and they're succeeding. The introduction of cycle lanes everywhere, the idiocy of it, the stupidity of it, is actually part of their plan. Quite seriously. They don't care whether there are people using the cycle lanes or not. They really, truly don't. What it means is making it more difficult for you to get from A to B and try and force you onto public transport. Now, public transport in Auckland, give me a break. It will never, ever be satisfactory. Simply because of the layout of the city, the expanse of it, the relatively small population, considering the size of the city, and it will never, in my lifetime, your lifetime, be worthwhile. But they'll do it anyway, because that's the way they think.
We're going to miss Leighton when he finally retires, aren't we? Because is he the only person left who still reads the letters section? I don't even really know what he's talking about when he says that. He's right, of course. They try and make me get involved in congestion, and I'm driving in at 3:30 in the morning, and I'm detouring off left, right, and centre, and then I get detoured onto roads that have also got roadworks on them, and then as I'm driving along those roads in a queue of traffic that's been detoured off, there'll be a police checkpoint checking for licences and breath testing at 3:30 in the morning. I'm not even joking. No need to get better, Glenn. Let's move on to Weight Watchers marketing to teens. They're copping some flack for this.
Good or bad idea? What do you make of it?
Oh, I think it's a pretty bad idea. I think it's a tricky, tricky territory to get into for Weight Watchers, and I don't know why they're doing it, unless it's to get people into their system, you know, younger and younger. And into it, but you're getting people into a cycle of dieting, and that's just so unhealthy.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because Weight Watchers is about, well, it's about weight, it's about diet, isn't it? And diets actually, they never really work, do they?
No, diets don't work. I mean, the thing with diets, and I'm saying this all the time in the talks and in the writing that I do in Healthy Food Guide, you know, if you're going to go on a diet, no matter what it is, and no matter whether they call it a diet or a lifestyle or whatever, if you can't do that for the rest of your life, then you at some point going to have to come off the diet, and at that point you're going to lose all the benefits that you might have gained, any benefits that there were, you know, and you just get into this cycle of yo-yo dieting and weight regain and weight loss, and it's just really, really unhealthy.
Of course, I got a teen who decided she wasn't eating meat anymore, or chicken, only fish. So what do? I kicked her out of the house, obviously. I can't be forced to live under those conditions. Just jokes. We're all vegetarians now, of course. Now, we're just going to finish up here with a quick Valentine's preview. I mean, I know it's not tomorrow, and yesterday it was 2 days away, and yet Marcus is obviously very worried about the whole thing.
Valentine's Day is Wednesday, which is fine. Sometimes on radio, Valentine's Day is quite lame. Where did you meet your partner? Or that's only all it is where did you meet your partner? If anyone has any sensational ideas for Valentine's Day, tell me what they are. I'm not quite sure what way we'll go. I've been workshopping it with myself. I don't quite know what the guts of it will be. I don't think it's going to be truck driver's date night. But I'm planning something kind of special. But I don't know what the appetite for the audience is. So if you've got some intel on that, do let me know. That's Wednesday. Those loved up ones will be kind of out at Death by Chocolate or some of those other cafes they tend to go to on Valentine's Day. Is that still around, Death by Chocolate? Or at the movies, or watching a DVD.
See, this is the problem, isn't it? It's a music radio thing, isn't it, Valentine's Day? We've sat around meeting after meeting talking about how we're going to deal with Valentine's Day on the Mike Hosking Breakfast. And there are people some of the people at the meeting are so into it, and some of the people at the meeting just want to kill themselves. I'll let you decide who the people are at the meeting, who, which side those people are on. And we'll see you back here tomorrow on Valentine's Day, where I'm fairly certain it won't even get a mention on the Mike Hosking Breakfast, actually. I am Glenn ZB. Might do on other day parts, though. That's why you listen to News Talk ZB. We will see you then.